Welcome and have a seat to the Women at Calvary, our new semester. Yay! The Women of Genesis. So we're very excited. We're going to live relationally this semester. And I was telling the gals in this morning, you know, as ladies, we tend to identify ourselves by our relationships. I mean, 9 times out of 10, if you're in a circle and say, hey, give us your name and tell us something about yourself, it'll be, hi, I'm Lenya, Skip's wife, or Nathan's mom, or Rod's daughter. Generally, we go for a relationship, whereas it tends to be that men will say, well, I'm a banker, or, you know, whatever it is. It's what I do that defines me. But I find that for women, it's who we love that define us. And so I'm really looking forward to studying the women in Genesis because we're going to see who they love, who they were related to, because it's impossible really to study a woman without studying her relationships. So that's why we're calling this semester Live Relationally. But more than starting to identify just with the women in Genesis, my challenge to you this semester is finding Jesus in Genesis. Because if you recall, when he encountered the Pharisees in the Gospel of John, he told them, before Abraham was, I am. So that means he predates Abraham. And we know that in Colossians it says that he was there at creation. Through him, all things were made that are made. And so I'm encouraging you to look for Jesus in Genesis. So I'll give you a little hint how you do that, okay? In Eve, the very first woman we will be studying in Genesis. You're thinking, well, where is Jesus? Well, when Eve and Adam fell and fell into the curse as well, it shows us that God had to sacrifice some animals to make garments to cover them, didn't they? And we remember that Jesus is the Lamb who was sacrificed before the foundation of the world for our sins. And so you can start seeing that Jesus is indeed in Genesis, that it's his blood that covers us. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. So it'll kind of be a fun semester to see how you relate to these women, but how you can find Jesus in Genesis as well. Well, you're probably looking at this tree and saying, interesting. Now, is it because it snowed last night? And they're awfully different ornaments on this tree. Well, I encouraged everybody who's coming up to share this evening so we can kick off this Live Relationally. This is our family tree. And so I've asked everybody to think of either a woman in Genesis or a woman in their life or somebody in their life that really impacted them and they wanted to represent them on the family tree. So I get to be the first one to kick that off. And I think, although I can see myself in so many, the good and the bad and the ugly in Genesis, trust me, but two women I really relate to are Sarah and Rachel. And the reason I do is because both of those women suffered from infertility. Is there anybody else here who suffered from infertility beside myself? Yes. And so before we had Nathan, I know you guys are all saying, well, you have a son, so. But we lost a pregnancy, and as kind of a young pastor and his wife, you know, coming to town, we were so excited when we got pregnant, and we announced it to the whole church, and then within a week or two, we lost the pregnancy. And everybody wanting to be sweet and exciting with us would come up and say, oh, when are you due? And then instead I had to say, I'm not due. And so it was just really hard, if you can imagine multiplying that by having to go through that over and over again. So besides Sarah and Rachel being infertile, the other woman I would like to represent with this is a dear, dear saint. She was a much older woman, a grandma. Her name was Patty Davis. She's no longer with us. She was a big part of the women's ministry for years, and I really miss her. There's some places in town I can't even go without thinking about her, and some places in my Bible I can't go without thinking about her. But God bless her. She came to me, and she said, I want to come over every Tuesday with a friend, and we are going to pray for you until you conceive and until you give birth to your child, not just conceive. And she did every Tuesday until Nathan was born. And so for Patty Davis and for Sarah and Rachel, this is my little just arrived because Nathan came into the world. So, you know what I forgot when I came up earlier is Lindsay Boatman was going to come up and share some announcements. She's going to let you know all about our retreat that's coming up. So, Lindsay, if you do that now. And, of course, I have to be the black sheep at Women at Calvary. And I don't have a little trinket to put on the tree, but I have the entire stage design because, to me, it reminds me of Eve. And when she and Adam were in the Garden of Eden, to me, it's like they got to be in the Lord's living room. And it's the living room setting is very nostalgic for me, even though I'm not very old. So, anyway. As a little girl growing up, that was kind of the hub of my family. And just having the opportunity to spend time with my mom and my grandmother, those are precious moments that I will always treasure. So if I could hang it on the tree, I would, but I can't. Some announcements for you guys. As you can see, our coffee and tea service will not normally be in the hub, but join us in the foyer before each session, usually about a half an hour early, and grab a cup of coffee and fellowship. We encourage you to do that. We also have one-on-one prayer available in the prayer room adjacent to the sanctuary. So we have ladies that really have a heart for prayer, and I encourage you, if you're feeling heavily laden or even if you want to go celebrate something, go over there, and they are available for you, so utilize them. Our February outreach is Paloma Blanca, and we have more information at our outreach table, so if you're interested, I encourage you to go look over there. Also, some of you, I'm hoping that everyone received this, because of having to push back the Bible study because of weather, we have reprinted schedules for you. So if you did not get a new schedule inserted into your notebook, make sure you stop by the office. And I think we also have them on the pre-registration table. So make sure you get those so you are up with us. Let's see. Retreat 2008 is going to be in Glorieta. And we have registration brochures. We also have these really nifty postcard size advertisements. Take a stack of them, hand them out to your friends at work, or we want a lot of ladies to come because it's going to be a really, really wonderful time. Angela DePrima will be our worship leader. Woohoo! And we also have these cool little bookmarks that has our website. And just as a side note, I highly encourage you to check out our website. We have really been doing a lot of renovations there. There's a lot of really good information. We have recipes. We have little spotlight snippets of our leadership. So check that out also. And lastly, if you could please turn off any cell phones or pagers or anything that might beep or be a distraction, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
A couple of highlights. Not only is Genesis about relationships, it is about new beginnings, right? Genesis, it really is the first of everything. So I didn't get to see how many of you are new here. Yay! You are welcome to be with the new beginning here, and we're excited to get to know you, and it's a great time to jump in, and so we're looking forward to that. And kind of piggybacking on Lindsay a little bit, we are becoming techno babes at the Women at Calvary. We're coming up into the modern technology. So if you are ever sick and you can't make it, we are live streaming the morning service. So if you're ever home or your kids are home or something, you can actually jump in and watch what's happening live. By next semester, we'll have our act fully together, and then the evening will be live streaming as well. But we're getting there in baby steps, so we're really excited about that. Also, we archive the evening lesson. So whoever's teaching in the evening, if you come the day later, you can still watch those teachers in the evening. So it is a really good resource, and I was excited this morning. One of our older women, who I love almost much as Patty Davis, Nell Thurston, is having knee surgery this semester. And she was really sad she was going to miss out on 3 or 4 weeks to convalesce. And when she found out she could be at home watching it live, it just changed her world. She was so excited to know that she was going to be able to keep up with everybody. So we're excited about that. Well, getting to know more of the ladies, you need to get to know Nancy Galligan. She is a jewel. She serves in the evening right alongside Carmen. And I will say this of Nancy. She has packed and unpacked Skip's library of books 2-3 times, Nancy. I don't know how many times. But I'll tell you what, she has been such a blessing to my husband to really take care of his precious books. So anyway, Nancy's going to come up and she's going to walk you through the very front material in your notebook.
Hi. Well, these are praying hands. I'm going to tell you about that in a little bit. And on the silly side, I think the manicure is better on the praying hands than me. But, nevertheless, a woman that I believe had a pivotal influence in my life was my grandma. Even though she was a very ill lady, she brought my sister and I into her home for several years. She took good care of us. But even more than that, it was what I saw. For instance, even though she could barely make it up the stairs at bedtime, could barely make it up, up she would go, it seemed, with a determined purpose. In fact, I knew if I were to go by her room in a little while, I would see her sitting there on a wooden chair beside her dresser with her eyes closed and her hands folded. She was praying. I had never seen someone praying like that before. Watching her in those consistent times of passionate prayer made a huge impression on me. What I saw is that little girl directly relates to the passion for prayer that I have today. I remember Pastor Skip talking just last month. He was teaching, and he said the children watch us, and they do notice what we do. And as a young child, ladies, I noticed. So, as I hang these praying hands on the family tree, this prayer warrior thanks God once again that I got to see my grandma faithfully praying. So I remember and honor my Grandma May. Is that all right, Linda? You can change it if you want. I told her I was going to have her come and hang it up there. But, all right. Could you please open up your notebooks to page 1? Good place to start. Here we go. I'm going to go through these 5 pages. And some of this you've already heard, and it may overlap, but repetition is good. Like Lenya said today, we get about 20%. So maybe the second time it'll sink in for me. Anyway, on the first page, make sure you write all the pertinent information that's important to you, your moderator, her name, if you know it yet, phone numbers, things like that. Also, if you don't get a copy of your homework any time this semester, it doesn't matter, whenever, just for whatever reason, Wendy and Dolores are going to put on the screen the website for how to get your homework, okay? So you guys grab a pencil, and I'm going to be saying it too. So www.calvaryabqwomen.org. Okay. Now comes the tricky part, and it's not that big a deal, but I do want to tell you that it is case sensitive. Okay. So when you get online, then you're going to see the username, which is relation08. Well, that makes sense. 08, it's 2008. And so relation, capital R. Okay. And then you get to the password. That's Genesis. Makes more sense. So capital G. So, you know, afterwards, if you want to see me, if maybe you didn't get it written down or something, I'll be happy to tell you. And they'll tell you in the office as well. So there you are. You've done that. You did your password and all that. And there you are. Print it out. And you're done. Okay? So now, here's the weekly agenda, ladies. It is so exciting. It's just awesome. Come early if you can and enjoy the complimentary coffee tea and fellowship. And I might tell you, I practiced this and I said, complimentary breakfast. And I laughed for 20 minutes. And so, no, complimentary coffee, tea. And I thought, oh, if I say that tonight. So anyway, feel free to bring your beverage into the hub with you. No problem. And Angela De Prima will begin worship right here in the hub promptly at 6:30. Angela will open the door to the throne room of God as you witness tonight as she leads us in sweet worship. After worship ends and your hearts are full, stay right in your seat because the teaching begins immediately. Okay? You will be hearing insightful teaching from Spirit-led Bible teachers about the lives of women like you and me from the book of Genesis. This is going to be such a powerful and rich semester. And don't forget to look for Jesus in Genesis. After the teaching is completed, you will have 10 minutes to get to your small group, and your moderator is your moderator for the entire semester. She will lead you in discussions about the homework and about the teaching, as well as the group input on how you guys are applying all this in your personal walk. And what a time of bonding. Prayer will be a sweet part of your small group also. You will wonder where the evening went when you look at your watch. It's 8:30 and it's over already. That was my way of telling you, too. It ends at 8:30. Hey. Notice in the schedule that we will not meet on March 25th because of spring break. Snow days. The women at Calvary follow the APS schedule. Simply put, if they don't have school or if they're on an abbreviated schedule, we don't have the women at Calvary that day, morning and evening. As you probably noticed last week for some of you that got coffee and tea. That was really fun when you got here. We had a great time. So anyway, we do cancel both sessions. If you're not sure, call the Women's at Calvary office phone number, 338-3654. It's also in your book, so take a look. Or listen to KNKT, Calvary Christian Radio Station, at 107.1 FM. And I neglected to tell you to please turn to page 2. We're halfway through it now, but it's okay. An important reminder, as you walk into the hub, this is sort of like, think about this. Every time when you walk into the hub, let that remind you while you're carrying your coffee or tea to turn off your cell phone. There's just something about when you walk in, it's like, yep, got to turn off my cell phone because I didn't do it tonight, but I did now. So let that be your reminder. And also, please, even if you quick check your messages on the way to your group, turn it off again and have courtesy in your group. So this request, I really want you to listen close because it's so important, okay, to allow others to fully receive all that God has for them and for you. Please don't talk or distract during the worship or during the teaching, even to the final amen in the prayer, please. And while we're at it, can you hear that? Save that for before and after, the clicking, because invariably we want to get a head start, and it can be. So somebody may just then have this really intimate time with the Lord just at that moment, and you're going click. So, I hope you don't mind I brought that up, but it really is important. Did you know that if you can't make it, the PM study, and I believe this is already covered, but I want to remind you one more time, you are free to attend the morning session that day. Look for a greeter, and she will direct you to any open small group. Greeters are those smiling-faced ladies wearing a butterfly, and they are walking around eagerly waiting to help you to find your way. One final note on page 3. The women at Calvary have an open door policy. Newcomers and visitors are always welcome. That's so cool, isn't it? Turn to page 4. We're getting there. One-on-one prayer. And again, this was touched on, but oh, wow. If you need personal prayer, one-on-one prayer, join our prayer shepherds, Debbie De La Rosa and Lisa Cousins. They are in the main sanctuary. Yeah, really. They are in the main sanctuary over there in the prayer room. And again, your friendly greeters will show you how to find that if you don't know how to find it. Speaking of prayer, we also have two prayer boxes available for your written prayer requests. The one box over there to your right sits on the outreach and the product table. It's back there. Can't miss it. The other box is right out there in front of the Women Calvary office on the table there. So our dedicated prayer team, Debbie and Lisa, we talk about them a lot because, wow, they are so faithful to pray. Their passion, ladies, is to pray for you, for the women's ministry, and to pray over each of your prayer concerns as well. Make use of their gift this whole semester. Notice the personal checklist on page 5. It gives you a lot of good suggestions for studying. You know, we all study, each of us, in a different way, it seems. So if you can go over this list, check it out. It's going to encourage you personally. Just a few. Be inspired, ladies. Set a time, then begin your study time with prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to be your teacher and to illuminate your mind, and then dig in. Be complete. Read the Bible passage and finish the homework best you can. Don't be discouraged if you fall behind. Be persistent. Be blessed, ladies. Enjoy your study time as God speaks to you through His Word and the Holy Spirit. And remember to live relationally. And look for Jesus in Genesis. God bless your semester and God bless you guys. Thank you for listening.
Now, a word about, after you look at all those be determined, be all the things that, all that you can be. We're not the army, but you're supposed to be an awful lot there. The women at Calvary are a couple of things. Number one, we're flexible. So we just want you to know that if this semester, for some reason, you miss out on the teaching, come in the morning, catch it online, whatever, you won't be penalized for that. This also may be a season that you just can't seem to make it to small group. I mean, you might have something going on, you can't keep the sitters that long or something, and although we want you to go to small group, no one's going to, you know, chase you down or tell you you can't come anymore because you didn't make it to small group. And the same thing about your homework. Sometimes there are just circumstances that kind of, you know, get us off track. So no one's going to put little smiley faces on your homework. Your moderator doesn't have red pens to circle and check it and let you know your grammatical errors in your journaling. And it was real cute. This morning Sharon had said, you know, sometimes when I get to those real personal questions in the live out section, I'm afraid someone might read my answers or what if I left my notebook. So she keeps a journal next to her notebook and the really private stuff she writes in her journal. So and then just kind of put some key words in the area so that when she shares, she's going to share, you know, which part of that that is personal. So we just want you to know we're flexible, but we're also focused. As much as you can give, that's how much you will get from this study. And what Nancy was saying, Skip has always said, if you hear something twice, you'll retain about 25% of it. So if you do the homework and you hear the lecture, you're going to retain about 25. And so we're going for the triple there. By the time you talk about it in small group, we're hoping we can raise that percentage even more. So the more you can give, of course, the more you can get out of the Bible study. But please don't ever feel like if you got behind or you're off for a couple weeks, you can't jump right back in, because you can. And nobody's going to scold you for it. So please know that we're flexible, but we're focused. We're still wanting to go through His Word. I'm going to share another thing on my family tree now, because I get to come up here a couple of times. The other person I relate to is Eve. And it's because God, I know God brought Eve to Adam, but I kind of think the Lord brought Skip to me. And he seems to be the perfect mate for me. And he was heaven sent, and I do feel like I come right alongside his side, you know, as though as I'm rib of his rib and bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So he is the perfect guy for me. Now,
I can't admit that I'm perfect, just like Eve isn't perfect either. When Skip and I first met, okay, I was a bartender in a discotheque before we got saved. I was raised an atheist. And I could drink like a sailor, and I could swear one like one too. And so when we first met, I was pretty raw. I was pretty newly saved, and it was on one of our first dates. And you know how those can be really uncomfortable. And there was a lack in the conversation. And so I thought I'd kind of lighten things up, and I told him a really dirty joke. And he turned to me and he said, "Don't ever tell me a joke again." So, you know, I can relate to Eve. You know, we blow it sometimes. So I'm going to put, just so Nathan doesn't feel like he's the winner up here, I'm going to put Skip up there too and let you know that I feel like Eve. So now to take you through our small groups, Jerry Hedquist is such a blessing to the women's ministry. She makes sure that all of your moderators are trained and prepared and have everything they need to do a small group. And so she's going to walk you through the small group section in your Bible. In your Bible, in your notebook.
Well, I actually argued with the Lord all day about what I was going to put on the family tree. He won. He won. I'm a little black and blue, but he won. So I had to change it. I want to tell you about my mother. Incredible woman. Really, truly is. I have never met anybody, with as much resolve, steadfastness, resilience, determination, persistence, and strength as this woman has. And she has had some really hard times in her life. At the age of 29, she was diagnosed with MS. She's now 80, and she's had MS this whole time. She has been pretty much wheelchair-bound for the last 25 years, and for the last 10 years, it's 24-hour-a-day care. But I never once ever saw her go off and lick her wounds, feel sorry for herself, or anything like that. She'd say things to me like, "Jerry, when the world gives you lemons, make lemonade." Or, "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." This really did speak to my heart. It was a very good example to me. But there is a hitch here. She's not a Christian. To this day, she is not a born-again believer. There's a little stubbornness that goes along with that resiliency too. So the Lord just put it on my heart. You have had this exemplified for you in a mighty way, but you also have me. I'm the one that picks you up out of the gutter, brushes you off, and gets you on down the road. You have no excuses. You've seen it in an unsaved person, and you certainly can do it because of Christ. So I brought my titanium cross to hang on the tree. Now, this isn't really titanium. My grandsons, Chris and Ben, will tell you that everything should be made out of titanium. And with them around, it should be. I think it's probably stainless steel or something. But it's been dropped. It's been bruised. It's got a scar on it, a chip out of it. It's rusty. So am I. But the point is, because of the cross, because of what God did on the cross, what Jesus did on the cross for us, we can get up and go on and finish well. All right, I did put the tie to my mother up here, but you'll notice that she's not down here under the blood like I am yet. I have hope, and it's my sincerest prayer that she will be eventually. So I'm going to hang my titanium cross on this little tree. I hope I don't break the branches. You know, ladies, something else that really speaks to my heart is you nocturnal types, you nighttime ladies that come to the study. Your energy and your enthusiasm. I know you've been working hard all day. I know you have been, but here you are, and I just love to bathe myself in it. It's my very deep desire that you'd be able to take advantage of all the Bible study has to offer you this semester, and you'd be able to attend the small group too. And you'll notice there is a tab for small group in your notebook. I'm not going to go through it page by page, but I am going to explain it a little bit to you. On the very last page, there is a list of the moderators and the rooms that they're in, and we will help you find them tonight. There will be many of us around to help you find those rooms tonight when we're through here. I like to think of our Bible study as the Lord looking down on the women of Albuquerque and saying, I'm going to feed my sheep, my lady sheep in Albuquerque, and I'm going to put in front of them this wonderful five-course meal, this Bible study. I mean, we have a pre-appetizer, an appetizer, a post-appetizer. In the fact that we have a prayer room, prayer shepherds, we have these wonderful hostesses that run around and take care of us greeters. And then on top of that, we have outreach. Then we go into our entree, maybe Chateaubriand every week, our lecture. And we have anointed godly women to teach us. And at this point, sometimes we see some of you putting on your coats and saying, I'm full and I'm going home. Well, sometimes that can't be helped. You do need to go. But we want to say, take off your coat. Go to small group and have dessert. Okay, now this is a place where you're going to be able to go eat dessert, not gain weight. Because you're actually going to be working off what you've been hearing. This is a place where the relationships happen, where the friendships are formed, where you can actually put it into action, where you can be what it tells us to be in James, to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Because if we're only a hearer, we deceive ourselves. Our precious, precious moderators, and they're wonderful, are well prepared to lead you in great discussion in this small group. And they'll lead you in discussion about what we like to call our four L's. They'll lead you in discussion about the lecture you just heard, the lesson, that's your homework, very important, and then living it out. What is God telling you? What changes does he want you to make? How does he want you to walk in closer obedience? He'll be discussing ways to do that, and then lifting it all to prayer, all the needs in that small group in prayer. It's a really great place to be, and I would really, really encourage you not to overlook Christian relationships with other Christian women. They are so important. Now, you might think you have your act together now and everything's fine, and maybe you do. You know, I'd like to meet you. Because I personally don't know too many people that do have their act together. But, you know, eventually you will need them. And it's not only that you will need them, but people need you too. We need each other. And this is what's done in small group. This is certainly one of the ways. I know my own experience with small group. I have some wonderful, wonderful friends sitting here tonight that I dearly love. And a couple in the morning session, too. These women are so important to me. I can't even think about them not being in my life. I won't go there. I can take anything to them. They know me well enough to know how to pray for me hardly before I even ask them to. They know everything about me and love me anyway. Now, that is a real friend. And it works the other way around, too. I'm blessed to be able to come up with them and be their very best friend and pray with them when things are going hard for them. So I was thinking the other day, had I not attended small group, I'm pretty sure that I probably wouldn't know any of these women. Because that's where I met them, through my connection in small group. And I would be seeing them go through the halls in this big church, not knowing them, and missing out on the blessing. So let me encourage you. If you can, please attend small group. Take advantage of all God has to offer you. I promise you, we'll let you out at 8:30. The coordinators are going to run up and down the halls and give the moderators evil looks if they don't let you out at 8:30. So that you can go home, put on your slippers and robe, and put your feet up and finish your evening. Just trust God. He's brought you this far. He's brought you to the lecture. Trust him for 45 more minutes. Small groups meet right after the lecture. And I'm sure he'll work it out for you. Pray you'll be very blessed in the Bible study this semester.
Yes, it's me. Well, it wasn't facing forward.
Either A, there are two types of you out there right now. One of you are saying, it was clumping. I'm so glad you did that. It was making me crazy. The other ones want to come up to me afterwards and say, what does your Christmas tree look like? And all I can say is it's pretty scary. Skip and Nathan know to hide. Because I put my ornaments out in order, and they know, like, we work our way from the inside out, and there's a whole... It's a frightening thought. So I know you already got these things going on out there about me. Look at, see, these gals are going, weren't you thinking that? I was thinking that. So, and I will underscore what Jerry said. This semester, you might not think that you need small group, but maybe someone in the small group needs you. And it's always a good way to look at it. You know, had I not met Patty, I wouldn't have made it through those infertility times without that prayer partner. And so sometimes we're going to be the giver that semester and not necessarily the receiver. And that's an okay thing as well. And just to let you know how exciting it is to see your faces, like Terry Lujan, I'm so happy to see you here tonight. And it's just really fun that certain people, when they come, you go, oh, the family's here. You know what I mean? It's Thanksgiving and you're so happy that uncle or aunt so-and-so got to make it so the family's together. So realize when you show up, that is how we feel. We're like, oh, they came. Yay. It's a bigger party, a nicer celebration. So now you can open your notebook to the homework section. And Penny and I are blessed to get to be the ones that study and prepare this homework. And really, it is a blessing. It does take work. I don't know if you know, but probably Penny and I spend about 5 or 6 hours a day writing. And it usually takes us about 5 or 6 hours to write one day, one of your lesson days. So it takes us maybe 25, 30 hours to write a whole lesson. So, and like I said, what you give, you get back. The more I'm in his word, the more I get from his word. And so I just consider it a privilege that I get to pray and spend time with the Lord and really dig around. So, again, that encouragement to you. So in that first page, you'll see that we divide up the homework into these neat sections. And they're all kind of live-oriented, since this is the live series. We lift up, as has been said. We make sure that we pray. We begin each Bible study with a little prayer on the side. And then we spend some time looking at the text. And those are some of the questions that you'll look at. You know, you'll say, well, who is the Lord speaking to? And how did the serpent beguile the woman? And so it will give you time to reflect. And it may be some things that are obvious, but we're trying to get you to look at it in a new way, perhaps. And then you'll have some learn about. And these are the things that are formatted on the side of your homework. Those are the little comments that are maybe dictionary definitions or cultural references or something from history. And we do have to thank Cindy for formatting our homework. She does such a beautiful job. I don't know how many hours it takes for her to format, but I venture to say it's quite a few. And this year, it's so pretty. She has butterflies dancing on the ladies' names, and so it's really pretty this semester. So on those sidebars, you'll kind of learn. And what I will say about that is if you're having trouble with a question and some of those look-at questions, like I have no idea what Penny and Lenya were thinking with this one, just go to the next question or read some of that side material, because you'll read it and you'll go, oh, that's what they meant. So don't be discouraged. And, you know, some of these, there aren't right or wrong answers. There may be a question that's, how do you think Eve felt after she took the first bite? Well, none of us know for sure how she felt, but you're kind of saying, if I was that, this is how I would feel. So some of those, there's just not right or wrong answers to some of those. And then we'll move to the live out section, which is really where the rubber meets the road. This is where we want you to be transformed and changed into his image and living out the things that you find in God's word. So these will be the things that maybe you want to put your journal there, but we might say, when were you like Eve? When were you deceived? Or did you deceive your husband? you know, and try and encourage him to follow in your patterns. And so these are the things we're really wanting you to reflect so that God's word is doing his work in your life. And so that's that, you know, final question and answer period. And then there's some listen to things. That's a little quote at the end. And those are from people who are smarter than us or thought about it or more poetic. And hopefully it'll make you think about it in a different way. So if you just turn to your homework. We start right away. Look at that butterfly right on the women of Genesis. This first page and the second page, this is kind of the underlying theme of the study. The author is Moses. It was to the people of Israel. And so it will explain just an overview of this study. What I love the most about that overview is where it says the lesson is the book of Genesis, there's all these beginnings. And we see a lot of firsts here. You're going to see the first mother, the first daughter, the first wife. But Scripture is so honest. We will also see the first rape. We will see the first prostitute. We will see the first deception. And so there are so many things that we are going to look. We'll see Joseph, the first sexual discrimination. So it's going to be really a hands-on study where we'll grapple with some really real issues. So if you look there, then you're going to turn to your first lesson, lesson one on Eve. We always start with a nice story at the beginning that kind of helps your brain get into the day. On the side at the first lesson of each week, there'll be day 1, 2, 3, and 4. It tells you what text we're studying and a little tidbit about what that text will cover. You turn the next page, and there right on the side is that lift up. There's your prayer. You get to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you because he's a better teacher than anyone. And so we're asking the Spirit to teach you. And then there is that look at section, and that's a little more commentary oriented. It's going to kind of give you the background, the history. At this time, this is what was happening, and culturally, this may have been what's going on. Then there'll be the scripture text, and then you can see how the questions come on the next page with some of those sidebars things. So the homework really is pretty self-explanatory. If you've never done it before, I think that it's very intuitive. You'll be able to work your way through it. If it seems confusing to you, please just ask your moderator, your small group leader, or grab any of us afterwards. Do any of you not know who your moderator is at this point? Okay, there were a few women this morning that didn't know either. If you're not sure who your moderator is, every week in the women's ministry office, we have orientation in there. And so this is when, if you invite someone next week and say, oh, you've just got to come to the study on women, she can still jump in next week. We'll have her go into the orientation room. We'll explain the notebook like we did tonight, hand it to her, and take her to a small group. So if you're not sure who your moderator is, please go to the orientation room, and we'll make sure you get to your small group. And if you just don't know which room it's in, look for the butterflies, and those ladies will walk you to your room. So now we will move to a section that is Odessa and Helen Vachicha. The women at Calvary don't want to just be receivers. We want to be givers. So every semester we try and select some women in our community or the world that we can influence, that we can bless. And so they're going to let you know which women we want to outreach to this semester.
Hi, I'm Helen. Lindsay mentioned that our first outreach will be to Paloma Blanca Health and Rehab Center. We're going to do this February 16th, so that's pretty soon. There's already a sheet over there that you can write your name and you can volunteer your time with us that day. It's going to be a short time of giving flowers, having cake, and just spending time with the residents there. Or you can even contribute financially if you'd like. In March, we are coming alongside the food pantry here at Calvary. We'll be collecting items to replenish their resources, and we might be able to assist them also on one of their nights of ministry, so you'll get more information on that later as well. Our last outreach is in April, and we'll be going to the Women's Detention Center. We've done that before, and so we're expecting a good time of ministry there again. It was such a blessing last time, and if you guys want to come and touch those women and pray with them, you'll be blessed. So that's what we'll be doing in April. Now, in regards to a special person in my life, on September 4th, the first day of our last Bible study, is when my mom went to be with the Lord. And the relationship I had with her taught me faithfulness, perseverance, and relying on God for his strength. She was a faithful single mom to 5 kids, and she persevered with us through all our trials. My mom's strength truly came from the Lord. So this ornament is a picture of 2 Olympic athletes who possess, I feel, these characteristics that she had. So one is passing a baton to the other one, and I feel that my mom finished the race well as these athletes did. And so I feel like I have a baton now that I need to pass to my children. And so my prayer is to run the race well with endurance and to finish well. So that's mine.
Yes, it does.
Hi, my name is Odessa McLean, and I'm one of the outreach coordinators as well. Webster's definition of integrity is quality or state of being of sound moral principle, uprightness, honesty, and sincerity. Well, my aunt fit that description. She was, in our neighborhood, the woman that most of the younger women would come and talk to because they trusted her, they believed what she had to say, and she was a Christian woman, so she gave them good Christian counseling. And she taught us that our word should be as good as a signed contract. So this is my signed contract.
Unite all the all right, now you're going, I think she has OCD. It's for me to know and you to find out. So now you get to meet the wonderful teachers that God has blessed us with. If you turn to the lecture section, you will see bios of all the women who will be teaching this semester. And I have to tell you that I feel like the calling, since Skip and I are compatible, that we both have as pastor and pastor's wife of this body, is we would like to consider it that we are divine talent scouts. And really, my heart is that you can be all that you can be in Christ. And you can be so much for him. You can be women of faith, the first women of faith in the lives of people you encounter. You can be these ladies that she was my neighbor, she was my friend, I worked with her in the office, and if it wasn't for her, or whatever that is. And so I really am praying that God lets you do all that you can do in Christ. So we're constantly, as the women at Calvary, recruit, recruit, recruit. So we're hoping that you'll become a prayer partner in your small group or a hospitality partner. And then after that, you'll help us with retreats or, you know, God will raise you up to be singing or teaching. And so that's just the heart of the women at Calvary. You know, we want you to be doers and not just hearers of God's word. And so with that, it kind of puts me in a pickle sometimes because there are so many great gals of you out there. And I'm thinking, how can we push them all out in front and let them be a part of the women at Calvary? Well, God's been raising up more teachers. And so this semester, we have a morning teaching team and an evening teaching team. And you'll see that after the bios. And Penny and I will be doing both morning and evening. And in the morning, Shana Crespo and Larissa Lusco, I know Larissa's here. Can you stand up, Larissa, and just wave to everybody? I don't think Shana got to come because she has little Nick. They'll be teaching in the morning, and then you guys are blessed in the evening to have Carmen Camino, of course, and Christy Willis.
And we're just trying to make more room so women can express their gifts. This semester also we have two worship teams. And you guys are really blessed because you get Angela in the evening. And so you're blessed to have her. And then Jen Miller is doing worship with us in the morning. And we just didn't know how else to make more room on the platform except to kind of divide and conquer and let more faces get up here. So now you're going to get to meet Carmen and Christy as they share a little bit about their connection with the family tree and the women of Genesis.
Buenas noches. Good evening, ladies. My name is Carmen Camino, and I'm overseer of the evening Bible study. And also, like Lenia said, I'm privileged to be one of your PM teachers. The woman in Genesis that I relate to the most is Rachel. As soon as Jacob and Rachel met at the well, it was love at first sight, at least for Jacob. No. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that it was love at first sight for Rachel. When my husband Wilfred and I met in Florida, it too was love at first sight. For him, not for me. But in the process of time, our friendship turned into love and love into a wonderful marriage. The meeting between Jacob and Rachel was of God. It was his divine providence that gave them that first glimpse of each other by the well. When Wilfred and I met at a trade show in Orlando, it was God's divine providence, his doing, that we met that day. Jacob was so in love that he was dying to do something for Rachel. So he rolled up the stone and opened the well, and he watered the flocks for Rachel. Wilfred was dying to do something for me. So he picked up my briefcase as soon as the trade show event that day ended, and he said, "Can I walk you to the car?" But of course. He didn't know that that briefcase was really heavy, and I was parked several blocks away. Finally, Jacob left the land of Canaan, his home, to go and find a wife in the far country of his mother, Rebekah. Wilfred left the land of enchantment, and he went all the way to the far country of Florida. He wasn't looking for a wife, but he got one anyway. So in matters of the heart, matters of love, I relate to Rachel. And that's why today I have a little red heart in honor of the wonderful relationship I have with my husband. Lenia, where?
Oh, my. Hi, I'm Christy. And I'm also going with my husband here. I am married to an entrepreneur, and he thinks like an entrepreneur. I mean, he's always looking for new ideas, and he likes change, and he likes progress, and he makes decisions with this risk factor. And I have to say that I really share none of that with him. None. I like status quo. I like security. I avoid change. I am not a risk taker. I'm a worrier. So when he comes with these visions and ideas and things to me, I am one of the first people to give him 20 reasons why it's a bad idea and we shouldn't do it. And so as I'm reading through the women at Genesis, I find that the woman I really relate to right now is Mrs. Noah. Now, look at her. Don't laugh. Think about it. He goes, "Honey, I want to build this huge ark in the front yard." And not only that, but it takes him a really long time. I mean, she's really waiting. And in the course of that, there's all these people coming and ridiculing him and criticizing him. And if I were her, I'd just want to go, you can't criticize him. I think that's my job. And so anyway, I really felt like I could relate to Mrs. Noah. And then, but ultimately, she gets on the ark. And that door closes, and she doesn't know how it's going to play out, but she's next to him, and she's with him, and she has been for all these years. And so I also brought a heart, because I want it to be a heart just overflowing with trust and faith, so that when my godly husband comes to me with an idea that I can trust that he's already worked it out with God, and that my faith in him and my faith in God will just be strengthened. And so this is my heart of faith.
Hey, it's all right?
Okay, I have to say I love our family tree. I want it here every week now, don't you? But that's how we are. We love it is because we love each other. And that is the fun. Hey, Nathan gets his ornaments on the tree, just so you know. I'm not that picking, you know, nuts. And in fact, he tries to hide them now that he's an adult because, you know, the clay ones. He goes, oh, Mom, please don't put that on the tree again. In my china, I'm just trying to balance all this out so you guys aren't worried about me. My china cabinet has my grandma's china, but it also has a tea set that Nathan made out of clay. And he knows I love elephants. I have since I was a kid. And he made a teapot that the elephant's nose is, and so you pour it and it has two little matching things that look like his ears for the teacup. And they are in a prominent place in my china cabinet. So you guys are probably thinking, I'm never going to her house. Or I'm not having her over. She'll rearrange my pictures. No, I'm not that bad. So we love you. We're so excited you're here for Genesis. Eve will be next week. I get to be able to share that with you. And now you can go to small groups. Look for the butterflies if you don't know the way, and they will take you to your group.